Reputation is bright and illuminating. You have no beginning, for you are the beginning of everything. This is understood by pure devotees, because you are easily accessible to the pure and truthful. When the conditioned souls are liberated and sheltered at your lotus feet, after roving throughout the material world for many millions of years, they attain the highest success of life. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we offer our respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. Purport. The demigods certainly wanted Lord Vishnu to relieve their anxiety, but now they directly approach Lord Krishna. For although there is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu, Krishna descends to this planet in his Vasudeva feature for the purpose of Paritranaya Sadgunam, Vinashaya Cha Dushkritam, protecting his devotees and annihilating the miscreants. Demons or atheists always disturb the demigods or devotees, and therefore Krishna descends to punish the atheists and demons and fulfill the desire of his devotees. Krishna, being the original cause of everything, is the Supreme Person, and above even Vishnu and Narayana, although there is no difference between these forms of the Lord. As explained in Brahma Samhita 5.46, Dipārcyate vahita santarama pyupetya, dipāyate vibhita hetu samāna tarama, yas tadrige vahicha vishnu taya vipāti, govindamāri purusham tamahang pajāmi. Krishna expands himself as Vishnu, the way a bright candle kindles another. Although there is no difference between the power of one candle and another, Krishna is compared to the original candle. The word Mrisha Yashase is significant herein, because Krishna is always famous for relieving his devotees from danger. A devotee who has sacrificed everything for the service of Krishna, and whose only source of relief is the Lord, is known as Akinchana. As expressed in the prayers offered by Queen Kunti, the Lord is Akinchana Vrita, the property of such a devotee. Those who are liberated from the bondage of conditional life are elevated to the spiritual world, where they achieve five kinds of liberation: Sayuja, Shalokya, Swarupya, Sharshti, and Samipya. They personally associate with the Lord in five mellows: Shanta, Dasya, Shakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. These rasas are all emanations from Krishna. As described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the original mellow, Ariras, is conjugal love. Krishna is the origin of pure and spiritual conjugal love. So the demigods now are very directly approaching the Lord here to bring out that they want this to happen, that they want the relief from the demon who's bothering them, because the demon will get in the way. One, they're supposed to see that there's the proper balance in the universe, but at the same time, as while they're having to deal with an imbalance, it also means their own lives, their own situations are out of balance, right? So this is the side they're going to be asking for. Like we see as other sages, they'll ask for being freed from the material entanglement and these kind of things like that. You see as they're on this side of that they just want the demon removed, there's anxiety here, right? So this is the element of Artha, right? There's a problem here. They just want that to go away. So these are the basically the two reasons that mixed devotees approach the Lord, right? The mixed devotee, it's either because of the aspect of karma, where they want the good facility, or they want the removal of distresses, or jnana, they want to know the nature of the soul and the Lord, or they want to know the nature of Godhead himself. So these four kinds of pious people, they approach the Lord. Right? So here we see the demigods are approaching from this pious position of they have a difficulty, they want it removed. But being demigods, they turn to Krishna. Right? They don't make their own arrangement. Though we do see is that they did start off with their own arrangement, and they very proudly went out, and when that didn't work, then they turned to the Lord. But that is what makes them devotees. Because the point is anybody who does devotional service is called a devotee. But in this classification of devotees, there's pure devotees and there's mixed devotees. So the demigods, as we see here, this is mixed. Pure devotees only want Krishna's pleasure. right? So, because otherwise we look at it from the mixed platform, from this side, is what do we want? What is what we are looking at is our perfection. Perfection is that we'll be situated in devotional service, right? Eternally, right? In the Lord's transcendental realm, in full knowledge and bliss, right? That's what we're looking for. But technically, that's mixed devotional service. So since we want that there, then here we want good facility, right? We want to be in the Dham there, so we want good facility here. We want to have knowledge and happiness. We want that here. You understand? So the mixed devotional service actually comes from our goal. Our goal is eternality, knowledge, and bliss. We want to be situated there, right? So now what's the pure devotee want? Pure devotee just wants to make Krishna happy. That's all. It's not about whether I'll be happy or not, whether I'm going to have knowledge or not, or anything. That's why the gopis are said to be the greatest of all the devotees. Because they just want to please Krishna. They're not interested in, okay, how great is this and that. That's not their interest. They just want to know how to please him. That's why it's mentioned that they're not great scholars or anything like that. Because that's not their interest. Their interest is just how to please Krishna. That's pure devotion. Right? Right? Now one may ask that, okay, well these same gopis, when they come to the material world, then they're the greatest of scholars, like Jiva Goswami. There has never been a scholar like Jiva Goswami. So we're not just saying that because he's our man. We're saying that because that's actually the position. Right? So how is it that the great scholars, when as gopis, are not interested in these things? Because that's how they're going to convince people to take up devotional service, be situated in devotional service, and be inspired in devotional service. Because there is that position of wanting to know the relationship between the living entity and God, wanting to know the nature of Godhead. So that kind of knowledge is there. You can't give it. How will people be impressed? So it's not that they need this knowledge to love Krishna. You understand? In other words, the pure devotees do not need this technical knowledge to love Krishna. They know the technical knowledge so they can point out what is material, what's spiritual, and in spiritual, what's mixed and what's pure. So that analytical ability is so they can show that to us. And because it's not a problem that we're situated in mixed devotional service. It's a problem if we think that's the ultimate goal. Right? So in other words, we're in a mixed position. We move forward and we become less and less mixed and more towards the pure. That's what we're trying to do. But then you have to know what that is. Right? Because otherwise, if you don't, then instead of it's just Krishna's pleasure, right? Because if it's just Krishna's pleasure, it means it's not about my pleasure. So it means my conditioning is not actually a factor in my being happy. My conditioning is simply what facilities I have. Right? Like you go into the kitchen, you want to cook something. Now, if I want to cook for myself, then I may go into the kitchen, I don't find what I like, I try to make adjustments. But if I'm cooking for Krishna, what is there, I can either try to find better ingredients for Krishna, or I can just cook what's there. It doesn't matter. I can cook what's there, it's nice, and if it's not so nice, I'll get some other, it's for Krishna. So it's a different approach. So because of that, I'm going to look at my conditioning by, okay, the conditioning is what facility I have. How to engage that in the Lord's service. That's going to be very different from my goal is, I want to, you know, going back to Godhead, then I will be there eternally, I will be happy, I will be full of knowledge. Because we notice in this, it's all about me. I'm going to be eternally situated in the spiritual realm in full knowledge and full bliss serving Krishna. You understand? So now, then we bring that down here. Well, I want facility here. I want knowledge here. And as long as our conditioning is pious, then, you know, it'll have that progressive element of being committed to following, you know, the Shastric regulations and the Shastric recommendations. But what happens if our conditioning is not so pious? It doesn't matter, we chant Hare Krishna, it will become purified and become pious, but what if we're attached to not being pious? Right? What if we're attached to, I'm not from the Indian culture, and I like my culture, I'm comfortable in my culture, I think how I dress, how I talk, how I walk, how everything, I'm cool with that. So then, what does that mean? Then, I'm going to turn to Krishna to make that nice. You understand? So now it's not really about Krishna, but if I'm turning to Krishna like the demigods, it's not so much that it's Krishna's universe, and if it's not going on properly, then how will all the living entities become God conscious and all that? No, I'm a demigod, I got my position, I got my facilities, and this demon here is upsetting it. You know, I'd rather be at home, you know, hanging out with the family, but instead I got to be out worrying about this demon. You understand? But they're going to Krishna. So we have to be very, very clear when we allow the mixed elements of devotional service to take a prominence or even to take a preference over pure devotional service. Because if I say, no, it's about Krishna, that's okay. We have to be practical. We have to be realistic. So what am I saying? I'm saying pure devotional service isn't really a goal. It's not a reality. Reality is I'm conditioned and I like it. Right? So we have to be very careful about this. Because this trend, if you think about it, is very prominent. Very, very prominent. In fact, scarily prominent. That we can actually think that I'm conditioned from a particular part of the world and I'm okay. Rather than, why am I from this particular part of the world? Due to sinful. Otherwise, if I was pious, I'd be born in India, right? And I'd be born in a good family, but I'm not. So what does that mean? I'm impious. And I'm attached to it. I'm going to flaunt it. You know, what is it? If you got it, flaunt it, right? So I'm a mlecha, flaunt it. Hey! We have to be very careful about this. Because otherwise, then, as Kapila Muni points out, is yes, it'll take many, many births. Because when you get to the point where there's nothing in the material world I'd actually like, there's things that are useful to use in Krishna's service, but they're not something you actually want for yourself, including being on Brahma Loka or Lord Brahma, who has the best facilities. Then you're qualified actually to go back to Godhead. Right? So that's the symptom, is that I'm not attached to my conditioning. I use my conditioning. The intelligent person uses what they have. So when we say we're being practical, use your conditioning, that is practical. I'm not attached to my conditioning, but it's what I have. I use it. But now if I'm attached to my conditioning and trying to use it, how is that more practical? Anytime I'm attached, I do a less good job as than if I'm not attached. Right? That's just the way it works. So the whole point is being practical is devotional service. And anybody who says otherwise, they're missing the point. They're immature. As we see again and again, the great sages and kings and Brahmins, as they point out to someone who's talking devotional service on a mixed platform, they always say you're immature. And what does that mean? You're childlike. Children think whatever you want, you know, is like that, you know, you can it can just stay. You know, you take it, the kid has it, they throw it on the ground, it breaks, then they pick it up and show it to you and say, fix it. Right? Why? So they can break it again. Yeah, that was fun, you know. So that's childlike. They don't really realize what they're dealing with. So, see, the point is, our maturity is not actually based on our false ego. Our social maturity, yes. The bigger your false ego, the more confident you are, the more you can hold your own against everybody else's false ego, you're more socially mature. And that comes from confidence, from applying yourself. Either you come with it naturally because it's there from piety from previous lifetimes, or you've worked hard for it. You've worked hard in the realm of economics and knowledge, influence, sense gratification, whatever it is that you're trying to work at. You work and you get your position. And because of that, it's better than others. So yes, you're proud. So therefore, you're the most mature. But in reality, that's social. Now, when it comes to your life, ashram, you're not mature at all. In fact, the greater the false ego, the less maturity. So that's the difficulty. We have to know what is actual maturity. What is real intelligence? The Vedas talk about real intelligence means being able to tell the difference between matter and spirit. Right? And what's pure and what's impure. That's intelligence. So that's then what the Bhagavatam is pointing out and showing at these step by step. Because here we see this is sixth canto. And the demigods are turning to the Lord. But now, who's the champion? Who's the hero in this pastime? If we think about it, it's Ritrasura. Because he is the pure devotee. He's not asking for a better position and this and that. He's come in that position due to the curse of Parvati, so therefore he's a demon, he's attacking the demigods. But he's just remembering the Lord. He's just trying to do his demon duties the best he can to please the Lord. Right? And in this, if it's demigods against demons, demigods should win, because that's how the universe works. But they won on what? On the social level. Who won on the spiritual level? Ritrasura. So we'll see in the future when it comes out that Indra kills Ritrasura, and Ritrasura goes back to Godhead, and Indra stays to rot here in the material world. So who actually won? Right? So that's the interesting point, is that we always have to be able to judge. We have to know the difference between, intelligence means you can discern. Of course, it also means you can make connections, but you can tell the difference and then connect. Like I can tell the difference between those windows in the back there and these windows on the side here and the windows in the corner. Now, if you look at them, they all have some certain similarities, right? But I can tell their difference. Those ones are bigger, the gaps are bigger, these ones, the gaps are medium, those are the gaps are smaller. But in that, the top there, there's nothing in it. This one has all kinds of fancy things, and that one has kind of like some V thingy in it. You understand? So I can tell that there's difference. They're all windows, but I can tell also how they match, right? They use the same kind of arch. They use different, they all are in three pieces. They all have two doors on them. They all have a little thingy at the top. You know, they're square, they're round, the half round at the top. I can tell that. So that's intelligence. I can tell the difference and I can bring it together. I can say, what's the difference? I can point out the difference. What's the same? I can point out the same. But if you can't tell what's the difference and the same, saying everything's equal, and then saying, that's intelligent, that's scientific. No, that's not. That's the intelligence of a child. And according to the Vedas, being a child is not limited to your age. Right? Now, they'll know socially you're not a child. But when it comes to understanding of Shastra and spiritual, one's a child. One has to be able to make this distinction. Because nowadays, basically when a discussion goes and you bring out a point and the other person finds that they may be defeated, they immediately call on their spirit, on their social position. Immediately. Bring out the emotion, bring out this. Think about it. How's it been going the last 10, since 1995? Right? That's the way it's been. And just getting more and more. Before that, it had to be based kind of on the concept of pure devotion. After 95, hey, sky's the limit. And we mean the material sky. You understand? So here, the demigods, they're saying here, they certainly wanted Lord Vishnu, they wanted him to do, but they're going to him. So the bottom line is this, that one is in the position of mixed devotional service, that's not a problem at all. That's where we start. You can't start somewhere else other than that, unless, of course, in the next canto, you're Prahlad Maharaj. Then you start on the pure devotional platform from day one. That's another thing. That's why he's in the seventh canto. But We start on this platform, and it's not a problem as long as we understand what actually is the goal. It's just to please Krishna, make Krishna happy. That we want to be able to do activities that please Krishna. That's what we want to do. And if we can do that, then our life is perfect. That's actually the perfection of life. As a side thing, as a secondary aspect, yes, we will be situated in the spiritual world. It will be eternal, that situation. We'll be full of knowledge and full of bliss. But why is that there? Because Krishna is full of bliss. We pleased him, therefore we're happy. He has knowledge, we're connected to him, and we have knowledge. He's eternal, we're connected with his position, we're eternal. He lives in his dham, we'll be in his dham. Right? So it starts with Krishna, then it comes back. So that's the difference. Mixed means I start with myself, connect to Krishna. Pure means I start with Krishna, connect myself to that. It's not a difference in what you're doing. It's a difference in the perspective. Right? And according to, political correctness, if anybody even knows what that archaic term means anymore, it's perception is everything. Right? They mean mundane perception, but we mean spiritual perception. That makes a difference. Are you spiritual or are you material? So that's it. Sarva dharmam paritya ja means you start with Krishna. Right? Karma yoga, jnana yoga, jnana yoga in the first six chapters, that means you start with yourself. The technique is the same. The mechanics of what I'm going to do. I like to cook, I connect it to Krishna, or I'm cooking for Krishna, the technique is going to be the same. The preparation is going to come out the same. It's going to look the same. Right? There might be a difference in the taste because Krishna is more pleased or less pleased. So, therefore we don't have to worry if we find our devotional service mixed, but understand that pure is what we want, pure, and we know what the actual goal is. Then we can judge, okay, right now I'm in this state, I have to do like this, I have to take care of these needs, these desires, fine. But what should always be understood, they're not ideal. It's reality, but it's not ideal. And try to avoid coming to the position that, no, this is me and I'm good, what are you looking at, you know, stop bothering me, stop being a fanatic. And at the same time, those who are fanatic, then the fanaticism is about what? Is it about the purity, or is it about the external, about the form? You understand? So generally what happens is we're dealing with the secondary. And one party, it's, you know, it's got to be, you know, just like what, you know, it says in the Bhagavatam, the first class facility, first class offering to Krishna, you know, very Vedic. And the other group is, it doesn't have to be Vedic, I'm just practical, do what I want. But both of them are mixed devotional service. Both. One's a little more pious, one's a little less pious, but it's mixed devotional service. Why? Because it's not about pleasing Krishna. That's the primary. Yes, it is done to please Krishna, but it's mixed. Otherwise, in pure devotional service, where's the difference? Right? It means, do the residents of Braja have any problem with each other? I mean, look at the services that they do. They're so different. But it all blends so beautifully. Because pure devotional service doesn't have a problem. Right? Doesn't have a problem. Mixed devotional service, that's where you get these party feelings and all these different kinds of things. Because I identify with the secondary attributes, not with the primary. The primary is Krishna's pleasure. Secondary are the forms I'm using to do it. And so if I identify with that by my conditioning, then it's a problem. If I identify with it by my position in pure devotional service, but then you have respect. The gopis are the highest as far as their devotion. That's what Prabhupada gives the example. But do they offer respect to Mother Yashoda? Yes. You know? Do they deal nicely with Sridham, Sudham, right? These are their brothers. Yes. Right? So what does that mean? That means that their service is there. Dhanishta, she's Dasya Ras. All the gopis respect her. Right? Sarabi, they offer worship to Sarabi. She's Shantaras. right? Madhavendra Puri, Shantaras. But all these who are after him are offering respect to him as a guru. Right? Because who gets to see all the pastimes all night? Radha and Krishna go into the bower, right, in the evening. And they come out in the morning. Who's there the whole time, other than Radha and Krishna themselves? Madhavendra Puri is as that tree that they're sitting under. The gopis come and go, the parents may come and go, you can peek through the things for a certain time, but at some point you got to go take rest. Madhavendra Puri is the whole time. So they all respect him. So that's the whole thing, is everyone respects each other for that. It's just not, there's no problem due to the secondary, because the primary is the same. When it comes to Bhava Bhakti, the first thing, the first item is understanding the mood, the general mood. So as followers of Lord Chaitanya, then we're interested in the mood of Braja. So that's the first thing, is the mood of Braja. What is the mood of that full surrender that's there in every devotee there, from Radharani down to the blade of grass? Right? Then the second consideration is then what particular mood am I interested in? Which devotees do I specifically follow after in rendering that service of Braja Bhav? You understand? Most people present it that it's the other way around. No, it's all about me and who I am and my Ekadas Bhav, and I'm, you know, this and that, wear this clothes, I'm from this village, I do this service. But that's not actually how it works, because that's the secondary. Mother just showed us love for Krishna, that's primary. That she expresses it as in parental rasa, that's secondary. So one has to know, that's what makes the difference between the sahajyas, which are all about me again, and pure devotion, which is all about Krishna. So we can see it's from this topmost platform on down to our practical position we're in. It's all the same thing. It's just there, the facilities are nicer, things work easier, right? Here, then there's all kinds of stuff going on, right? So we have to understand and make these distinctions, right? The Bhagavatam is pointing them out. Each verse, there's something special, something unique that it's bringing out. And then a group of verses, they're making a point. Right? That's how an Adhikarana works. Right? An Adhikarana means that you're making a point. There's a thesis to be done. This is pointed out by Jayadwaita Maharaj. Because once there was a discussion, it may have been for the VTE course or something, that it was being discussed that the verses are so different and going all over like this and that. And Jayadwaita Maharaj said, yes, but the purports are going in one consistent line. So the purports perfectly bring out exactly what's the Adhikarana. What is the thesis that's being presented in that specific spot in the Bhagavatam? So that's how you know. And then his purports, they open like that. Right? They open like that. You can also take that and make that into as an Adhikarana into the five positions. Right? That you have your thesis, you have your reasons, you have your explanations, you have your conclusion, I mean your synthesis, and then you have your conclusion. Every purport does that. Sometimes they're combined if it's a short purport. But they all have all these elements, how they're put together. So it's very nicely explained. So Bhagavatam is giving that. That's what we're supposed to be learning. It's not that this is just one of those things in the day and just, Krishna wants to test whether we're going to stay awake or not for him. And so that's why there's Bhagavatam class, right, you know. Or we could look at it, we've been jumping up and down in Guru Puja, so now everybody gets a little bit of a break. You know, and then after a break, then we go have a shad. You know, so no, it's that everything is taken care of, but it's also that we can appreciate. But what we're trying to appreciate is not so much the knowledge. It's the position of being able to discern what's pure devotion. over something else. Therefore, knowledge is used to make that discernment. Right? So that's the importance of the knowledge. That's why we study. That's why we know. And for ourselves, that it's just, it pleases Krishna, that's good enough. But for others, they want to know why. So, we know the philosophy, we can explain it. But that's not the reason we love Krishna. We don't love Krishna because he's God. We love Krishna just because he's the nicest person. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So it's pointed out here, is they're going to Krishna because of all, then he so much takes care of his devotees, he protects his devotees and all that. So now they've come to that point of seeing it very much more as from the devotional platform, right? Their inspiration to move to there, of course, has been, as we said, from the mix. But now they've gotten to that point where now it's Krishna. Because it's Krishna in the form of Krishna. That original form, that sweetness and that interaction with the devotees is there. So they've taken shelter of Krishna. So they're speaking to Vishnu, but they're speaking to him as Krishna. Because there's no difference between all of them. It's just what mood they manifest. Right? When we say the candles are there, they're all the same candle. It's just a matter of, as Vishnu, then Krishna only manifests a certain amount of the qualities to a certain degree. So you have the plenary portion of a plenary portion. All these different expansions means they just manifest a certain amount because that's all that's necessary. But they understand that this is Krishna. So then they're going to him in his mood as Krishna and asking that he please protect them. He please take care of them. Okay? Any questions or comments or something? No? Yes. Here.
As you mentioned, Maharaj, our duty is to connect ourselves with Krishna, starting from Krishna, connecting ourselves, not starting from us, connecting with Krishna.
It means that's what we want to get to.
Yes.
At the present, we may be starting with us. Just that we start with us and get to Krishna, that's glorious. Because generally we start with ourselves and with ourselves, right? it's a complete package, right? You know, but as we start with ourselves and then bring it to Krishna, by keeping on doing that, we get purified. And with time, then it just becomes more about Krishna. Because we're starting with, it's about us, and then we work in Krishna now and again, and with time, Krishna's worked in more until Krishna is the whole consideration. So that's what we're saying is that we're only pointing out the weakness of mixed if we think it's a strong position, right? And I don't have to worry about the pure. No, I have to know. If I know what pure is and I'm endeavoring for that, then it will come automatically. But if I don't know what it is, then it may take extra time. So it's recommended, Prabhupada recommends, don't take extra time. Right, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Kapila Muni, they all recommend one lifetime you finish up because you don't know what will happen next lifetime. You know, it's not like you're completely independent from the moment of birth, right? Or even from conception. You know, what parents you're with, how they're going to deal with you, you don't know. You know, so then that means you're going to have to wait until basically, at least in the contemporary environment, until you're 18. That's 19 years. Right? And then you have some time in between, you get a 9-month bit of a nap, right? You know, so 20 years before now you can just go out and do what you need to do. So you don't know what will happen in 20 years. A lot could happen. So that's why it's recommended, finish up in one life.
But I find it difficult to do it.
To do it, yes, but that's practice, that's sadhana. Sadhana means we know what it is. In other words, sadhana means we're using our intelligence to apply the process. Right? Spontaneous devotional service means it's not based on intelligence we're doing, it's based on our feelings, our emotion. Right? We've come to that state where Krishna is so important to us, we naturally are inspired. Right? Does that make sense? But it's but in the beginning we use the intelligence and we point out what's good, what's bad, what's we discern, what's the ideal. That's why allowing to work on the mundane, spontaneous platform and saying that's okay is not good. Right? If we shift into the social and then we, what spontaneously happens because of our conditioning, and then we say this is good, that's going to be a problem for us. That's why the material has to be regulated by the intelligence. The intelligence is the closest thing to the super soul, not the mind. Right? But what we're trying to get to is the spiritual mind, where then that's always absorbed in Krishna. Right? Because it's when you get to the level of bhava, then you come to the point of being able to get that association of Krishna when you come to the point of samadhi, which means the mind, not the intelligence. Does that make sense? Right? So we're only using this technique of intelligence until we get to the liberated platform. Once we're on the liberated platform, then it's about cultivating the mind and heart. So we're cultivating the mind and heart to begin with, but it's being led by the intelligence. But in the spiritual world, it's not. The heart leads, the intelligence then shows how to apply it. Because the heart leading there, it's about Krishna. But the heart leading here, we can't say what it's going to be about. So if the intelligence follows that, we end up doing all kinds of weird things. You know?
Does it mean that the mind is not under control till we are?
Nothing. Does it mean that the mind is not under control till we are on the liberated platform?
Fully, yes. Means you can control it where it's workable. You know, but it's not that, you know, it's just like you have a nasty dog on a leash. It's workable. So that's the whole thing. It's workable. So, and any devotee can do it. That's the glory of it, is because every devotee is spirit, soul. Every devotee can follow the process and get to the perfect platform. It doesn't matter what your conditioning is. It has nothing to do with that. The conditioning will show what we're attached to. Are we attached to piety or impiety? Karma or jnana? That's all. But each of those positions is the problem. Let's say one is situated in goodness. Okay, it's going to be easy to be regulated. It's going to be easy to accept authority. Right? It's going to be easy to be dutiful, to be more personal socially. But we're conditioned to goodness. And so we just like that thing of good. We're unwilling to take anything that's a risk that might take us out of that secure situation. So that's where those coming from a background of passion and ignorance, they're willing to take the risk. Right? Prabhupada was in India for how many years? How many people stepped forward? Nobody. No one wants to take the risk. You go to the West, hey, you got kids. I mean kids who leave their place where they grew up, go to a country that they'd never been to before with no money, don't speak the language, have no contacts, nothing, and start a yatra. That's not being conditioned by the mode of goodness. And why did they do that? Because they knew it would please Prabhupada. But as far as conditioning goes, who has the qualifications for that? Is there a course for that? You know, master class, opening a new yatra in a place you've never been before. Do we have one like that? No. So without that master class, they did it. All the yatras of the world were opened by kids who had that surrender. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that anybody can do it, but one has to understand and be able to discern that what pure devotion is, and that's what you want. But I'm not at that stage. Just like the kids in third grade, okay, and he knows he wants to be a nuclear physicist. So what does that mean? He applies himself. He learns his math nicely. He does well in his grades. And at one point, he's a nuclear physicist. You know, someone else wants to be a doctor. You know, most want to be a fireman, right? You know, whatever it is. Then they grow up and then they get to whatever it is. So, but it's real. If you think, oh, you know, I want to be a nuclear physicist, so I'm so smart, and then sit back, you'll not get there. You have to know what your goal is and know where you are. That's sambandha and prayojana. I know who I am, what I am, where I am at right now, and I know where I want to get to. Now I make a plan accordingly. Right? Yeah? You understand? So this is the problem. Material world, we look at it, okay, this is what I got. You know, this is my plan, you know, like when I go. Or, you know, this is what I want. you know, this is the plan to get it, this is what I need. But no, it's a matter of, this is what I got, this is what I want, now you make a plan. But that plan is set by the acharyas. And we do our best, because the point is, it's our endeavor to try to do it that makes it perfect. Not that we're doing something great. Therefore, the example of Hanuman and the monkeys moving mountaintops for the bridge, and the squirrel and the spider moving, you know, flecks of dust. And to Ramachandra, they're equal, because it's about the devotion. Right? So that's the position. So it doesn't matter. Right? So but one has to discern. And anybody can do that. Anyone can discern that, yes, I want pure devotion. I want to please Krishna. And then from that platform, Krishna will reveal and start to show how you can accomplish that. Right? Is that okay? Yes? Anything else? Or? Yes.
The one can, especially like a demonical, like Prahlad Maharaj is swayam demon. He came from family of demon, like Bali Maharaj. They all are pure devotees.
Right.
If someone practice pure devotion, then he must, like demon means it's like mood of ignorant.
No, what's your point?
The point is, the one must be come to the sattvika mood to practice devotional service. Is it?
No, one who is practicing devotional service comes to the sattvic mode, not that, you understand? That's a mixed perspective. You're thinking that the mode of goodness produces bhakti, but it doesn't. Bhakti is independent. The mode of goodness is the best situation from which to perform devotional service, because then you have knowledge, you have detachment, it's so much easier. Because if you have knowledge and attachment, it's more difficult. If you have no knowledge and attachment, that really doesn't work. So we're just talking about what works better. Right? So the mode of goodness is better, but it's not that mode of goodness produces bhakti. It's a fallacy that I have to come to goodness. No. Goodness is the best position to perform service from, but it's the performance of the service that pleases Krishna, not the mode of goodness. If the mode of goodness was all it took, all the smartest in India would be pure devotees. Are they? No. And they're living a life of goodness. So then? Goodness does not produce pure goodness. Pure goodness is produced by bhakti. So that means, whatever background you're from, if you're trying to do devotional service and please Krishna, the mode of goodness will develop. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi, Haribol Gaur, Haribol Gaur, Haribol Gaur.